morning. Let's take our Bibles now and go to the book of Daniel. We finish up tonight the whole book of Daniel. We've been going through that on Wednesday nights. Tonight we're looking again at Antichrist and the Tribulation in chapter 12. Really, the first couple of verses in chapter 12 fit better in chapter 11. But you have to remember that these breaks were not in the originals at all. But at any rate, we can continue what was really started in some of the end-time prophecy, specifically beginning with chapter 9, now going all the way through chapter 12. And Daniel 11 ends with the downfall of Antichrist, which we talked about some last week. And then this chapter begins with Satan, or Antichrist's hatred and his terrible persecution against the Jewish race. Certainly we can see on the horizon anti-Semitism building again. And we have it in our leadership, in our country today, and many of the other countries, and it isn't going to really get better for them. But we'll look at what God is telling us here about Antichrist and the tribulation. We talk about the tribulation in verse 1. Verse 1, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered." Notice he's speaking of Jews. "Thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book." Now, who is this Michael he's talking about here in verse 1? What is his relationship to Israel? We know that long time ago, Satan wrested the nations of the world from the fall of Adam. And then God brought that back into position to some degree by giving one nation, even though the nations had sold out to the devil. And the result of all of that, remember, the devil is the prince and power of the air. And he is the one who's controlling the Gentile nations today. But God said, "I'm going to select out a man by the name of Abraham. And it is through Abraham that I'm going to raise up a nation of people that will be my people, my nation, and a special nation." And he raised up the Jewish nation. That is God's chosen people as far as a nation. And he has a covenant with them that he's going to keep. And we are seeing the prospect of that taking place, the end time prophecy, as far as those Jews are concerned, what's going to happen to them. So Abraham was saved and sanctified and separated. God did that for him. And so we have Michael, that is an archangel, and Michael is not a patron saint. There is no real such thing as, well, there was a person named Saint Patrick, but there's no patron saint that has that job to do. There were a lot of good things about St. Patrick. We won't get into that tonight. But there were a lot of things that I think he was terribly wrong on. But this is not a patron saint, as some writers say, but this is rather an angel, an archangel. This is one that God appointed, a high archangel, and he has a special task of overseeing Israel, overseeing the Jews. And he is assigned to be their representative and their protector. As you follow the times of this archangel in the Bible, I think you will see that that is true. Now, given these two factors, that God raised up another nation that was lost. And, you know, everything that the devil offered Jesus, he could have given him. He had the right to give that to him because he had won that battle with Adam. But here, with the new nation, you've got this new nation that is God's chosen people. And then you have Satan himself, who absolutely hates the archangel and hates this nation. No wonder we come up with anti-Semitism. the hatred of the Jews because Satan hates them. He always has. And he still hates them. And primarily he hates them because they brought our Redeemer into the world. But anti-Semitism, you know, comes from hell itself. But Michael is going to be active. And at that time shall Michael stand up. In other words, he's going to start working again. He's going to be active again because of this. And Antichrist is going to pour out a great persecution on the Jews. It's going to take place. Now, let me give you a couple of scriptures you may want to jot down, and some of you are already familiar with them. But you can read these, and this parallels what we're talking about here. Matthew 24:21, "For then shall be great tribulation." Notice that. "Great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." And that passage in Matthew 24 is talking about this same, very same time period. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble," Israel's trouble, "but he shall be saved out of it." There will be a remnant that will be saved out of that time of the great persecution that's going to come. So the focus of the tribulation period is primarily on the Jews, not so much on the Gentiles, but primarily on the Jews. Gentile converts will be martyred, but God is going to seal 144,000 Jews, 12 tribes and 12 those that he's going to seal, 12,000 from each tribe, 144,000 sealed preachers. And they're going to be preaching during that time. People are going to be saved, some Gentiles, some Jews. And there will be all of the focus of the devil against them during that period of time. At the same time, all of this is taking place. We're right at the end now. We're coming to the end of the movie, the end. We're coming to the end of the play, the end. All right? So all of these things are beginning to go on, and one of the things that's going to happen is God's wrath is going to be poured out on them. And we go back to Zephaniah 3:8 as one reference. "Therefore, wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations," not a nation, but the nations, "that I may assemble the kingdoms to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy." That's going to be a tough time, the time of Jacob's trouble, the time of Israel's trouble. And I think during this time, these Jews are going to be dealt with in such a way that at least some of them are going to recognize and realize that Jesus is the Messiah. They're going to believe, and many of them are going to be persecuted during that time too. Now, we know that Satan was kicked out of the heaven, but there's coming a time where he'll be kicked out of the heavenlies. And we believe that that is taught by Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7. Let me read that for you very quickly. Revelation 12 and verse 7. The Bible says, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven." Now there are some references that are referring to whenever Lucifer rose to try to gain power over God. He couldn't do that. But then there seems to be a time when he has all of this latitude and liberty now to work in the heavenlies. And he is busy at work, as we can see in the nations, but he's going to be relegated and dropped down to the earth and during that particular period of time. And somebody is going to fulfill the devil's desire to fight against these Jews, and that will be somebody called Antichrist. Antichrist will be a ready tool to be used of Satan, and he'll be used of the devil to fight these people. The great tribulation. He's saying it is worse than anything previous to that, anything that has ever happened to the Jews. Now just stop a minute and think of all the things that's happened to the Jews. I'm telling you a lot of bad things that happened to them. They've gone from the dungeon to the sword to all kinds of things. The thumb screw, the rack, the burn, they've been burned to death. We know they've been placed in concentration camps. We know that they've been in gas chambers. They've been used, they were used by Hitler for scientific experiments in a most horrible, horrible way. All of that, those are terrible things, and the Holocaust was a horrible time. But God says there's coming a time even worse than that, that the Jews are going to face. And thank God, Satan will not succeed in wiping them all out. And there will be a remnant, and that remnant will survive. And Michael is going to help. I don't know, he may be part and parcel of locking up the devil. But we know that the redeemed of the tribulation are going to be delivered. And God's going to see to it that Michael is involved in that. Now, we look at the tomb, verses 2 and 3. He says, many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, this is not a reference to one time, a whole general resurrection for everybody on the face of the earth. If you'll study the Bible, you'll find out there are different resurrections. Christ arose. There were those who, after his resurrection, they arose and all of that. So we don't want to spend a lot of time on that. Here's what we need to see in that verse is that there will be a resurrection. And here's the point. Death is not the end. Amen? There will be a resurrection. Those who are unsaved are going to be raised. Those who are saved are going to be raised. There will be a resurrection. And so everybody needs to face the reality that death is not the end. And all of us, he's reiterating for us here tonight, have one of two destinations. And he tells us what that's going to be. Some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. That is, they'll die and go to hell. And so those things are going to take place. We all have one of two destinations. I see also in this, in verse 3, that there are some rewards for those who have served during that time and for us of this time. Verse 3, and they that be wise, they that catch on to what's going on and understand it and react accordingly, shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, the stars in the firmament, in the heavenly bodies. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. He says these people are going to be rewarded. There'll be those that are preaching during that time, and they're going to be rewarded. There'll be soul winners, and they'll be rewarded. And certainly, these will be God's Jehovah's Witnesses. They'll be the real Jehovah's Witnesses, not the ones that are running around here today all confused and contrary to the Word of God. But these will be the real Jehovah's Witnesses, and they'll be preaching the Word of God, and they are talked about as people that are luminaries during the tribulation. They're bright, shining stars. Now, having said that, I need to remind us that we need to be bright, shining stars today, too. We need to be what they are. We need to be people who witness. We need to be people who are shining as the brightness of the firmament. And we turn people to righteousness. We're going to be rewarded by God. I believe there is a soul winner's crown. I believe those who really try to bring people to Christ, and you don't have to do that on Saturday morning. It's a good time to start, and it can work out. But anywhere, anytime, contacting people and having relationships with them in your circles of influence, the concentric circles that we have, our own selves, our family, and then our best friends, and going right on out to person number X that we've never met, we ought to tell people about Jesus Christ. And we should make it part of what we do to warn others about hell and to tell them about Jesus Christ. And I believe that these are the stars that God's looking at. I believe we're the ones He's going to reward, at least in a special way for doing that. That we'll be rewarded for it. And I believe that'll mean something to us. at the judgment seat of Christ. I believe it'll mean something to us when we face our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The world is working and laboring and working and laboring for corruptible crowns. We have the Dallas Stars hockey team, and they'd like to win the Stanley Cup. They're working for a corruptible crown. But soul winners are working not for a corruptible crown. I think God says we're going to shine as the stars in heaven, those that tell other people how to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible teaches that there are rewards and positions that will be different in eternity. There are rewards and positions that will be different in eternity, and I think that is significant. We have the story of the nobleman. That is a story of that, I think, where God gave 1 pound and he gained 10, and another pound gained 5, and another pound, and buried his gift. There are a lot of Baptists that are burying their gift, and they're not going to get a reward for it, and God's going to take that and give it to somebody else. That's exactly what he did. He took it from the one who had 1 and gave it to the one who had 10, because the one who had 10 invested it like he should invest it. And we all should be reminded that we need to do what we can for the glory of God, and it will not be in vain. We will be rewarded for what we do for God. Now, in verses 4 through 7, we see the times that he's talking about. This is a composite, really, in these verses, of the end time. Verse number 4 says, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end." Then he gives a little description of that time. There are different ways, different ones interpret this, but I believe the natural way is the best way, what it says. "Many shall run to and fro, and," he says, "knowledge shall be increased." How many would think that that might be a description of the day and age we're living in? Knowledge is increased. I mean, you learn it, and the internet has something new tomorrow. And ability to know and to learn and to communicate and to travel and to do all of those things, I think probably it is alluding to that. And he said, "Daniel, you don't need to know. I'm going to seal this book. You wouldn't understand it anyway right now. It's way, way out there in the future. And the day is going to come where this will be a description of what's happening, the time of the end, and many shall run to and fro, knowledge shall be increased." Well, I think we could all get the idea we're probably there right now. And I don't know the intensification of that and exactly how intensified he's talking about, but I know that we have a lot of that right now that we didn't have in the past that is rapidly coming upon us. And so we have a transportation revolution and a knowledge explosion, all of that taking place today. It's time to look at all of these things, I believe, and diligently, carefully examine what's going on around us and examine Scripture with Scripture. Some believe that's what they're referring to, that they'll run to and fro at the end and try to figure out what the Scriptures was really saying that they had. But we know that time is going to come, and God says that I reveal this to you, Daniel, and I want you to write it down. It's going to be sealed. Nobody's going to mess with it. It's going to be sealed until that day. It will be carried out. Now, another question would be how long till these events are complete? That's a normal question and a natural question that would be asked. Look at verse 5. "Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood two other There stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river." We go back and we know that that was a scene that we had back, I think it was chapter 7, and in other places. But here they are on the side of the banks of the river. I think this is the Tigris River that he's talking about here. And one angel was on one side, one on the other, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. "And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, in the middle, upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders?" Good question. How long is it going to be until these wonders are carried out and completed. And we know chapter 9, look at chapter 9, verse 27. The Bible says in this verse, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for how long? 1 week. A week of what? You remember heptads, the time period, a week of years. And in the midst of the week of years, 7 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. For the overspreading of the abomination, he shall make it desolate even unto the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." Well, he's going to reiterate the very same type thing, at least part of it right here, when he's talking about what happens here. You know what's going to happen. Antichrist, a mastermind human being who will be indwelled by Satan, will pull the political system and the religious system together. And in so doing, he's going to make some wonderful promises to Israel, the Jews, and he's going to be able to carry them out. They're getting ready to need some promises. They're getting ready to need some help. Just about the whole world is turning on them again, including the United States. And they're going to need some help. And all of this is probably pressing and pressing and pressing us toward that final day that Daniel is talking about. And so we have the Jews back in the land, all of the things that are going on. They have a lot of problems today. Well, he gives that answer as he's talking about it when he says there will be a times and a half. And what's he talking about here? He's talking about time periods, and he's talking about the year time period. There'll be 3.5 years. So when is this going to happen? When's Antichrist going to turn against the Jews and do what he's going to do? 3.5 years into that last week of years that Daniel talked about in chapter 9, verse 7. And that 3.5 years we call the Great Tribulation. 7-year tribulation, the last 3.5 years, the great tribulation. Because, in a sense, we could say all hell is going to break loose. The abomination of desolation is going to take place. We had a little foretaste of that with Antiochus Epiphanes, but Antiochus Epiphanes did not fulfill this prophecy, but he was, in a way, a type of what Antichrist is going to do. And so, there will be the abomination of desolation. What is that talking about? Well, he's going to enter into the temple, and he's going to offer a pig in the temple, and he's going to desecrate the temple. And that's going to break out a holy war. I mean, it's going to be bad when all of this begins to take place and begins to happen, and there will be great persecution. That's why Jesus tells the people of that day, don't even go back on the housetop, don't go back inside, get out of here, flee, get to the mountains, get wherever you can. Because horror is going to take place. But I think it's this that is going to break, finally, Israel's rebellion. The Jews' rebellion. And they are a people that have been in rebellion. They rebelled against Jesus Christ. They rejected the Messiah, and for the most part, they still are. Any Jew can be saved today, any Jewish person, and any Gentile. But they have rejected the Messiah, and they are still doing that, and they're going to turn to Antichrist for their help, and that's going to be a mistake. But I believe God's going to use all of that to humble them and bring them to the place where at least a remnant, Israel's rebellion, is broken. And they'll have, at some point, no friends, no allies, no power, and they're going to need some help. And I believe that's when they'll turn to Messiah and turn to the Lord, at least a remnant. Now the truth is shown, verses 8 through 13. Verse 8, there's a request. He said, "And I heard," Daniel now speaking, "I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things?" He said, "I really don't understand." And we may not understand everything, but he was saying to him, "You'll understand it later, and we'll understand everything later. But occupy ourselves with what is revealed." That's what we need to be occupied with. It's not what we don't know. It's what we do know that we need to deal with. And we do know that Christ could come at any moment. We do know that we ought to be soul winners. And we do know that we ought to be living right in case he comes tonight. And all of the other things that go along with that. But these things are going to take place, and the truth, the request is given. And he's saying, occupy yourself with what I've shown you. Don't worry about the rest of it. And then the reply to the prophet, verse 9, and he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. There we go. It's closed up, it's sealed until the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly. That's their nature. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And so the reply to the prophet, he gives him the answer as to why. In verse 9, for the words are closed up and sealed, and it's going to be that way until the very end, the very last chapter, the very last thing. Now, I'm glad it's a sealed book, because there's been every kind of all the books, there's none in the Old Testament as accurate as the book of Daniel in Bible prophecy. No wonder the devil wants the critics and high criticism to attack and late date the book of Daniel. Because it is so perfectly accurate, they don't want to admit that it is set perfect. And they say, it couldn't be that perfect. Yes, it can be that perfect. God made it that perfect. God revealed it to His man, Daniel, and Daniel wrote it down. And Daniel's telling us, though he didn't understand everything, that we would understand and we can look out into the future and know some things are going to happen. Verse 10, he tells us what. So he says in verse 10, many shall be purified, made white and tried. Some will believe, but the wicked shall do wickedly. Why? It's their nature. They still don't want the truth. There'll be some Jews who do not want the truth. The wicked will not believe it. Someone has said it this way, unbelief is not a mental issue. Unbelief is always a moral issue. You see, it's not that they can't believe, it's that they won't believe. And that's the problem, that's why people don't get saved now. It's not that they can't. It's not a mental issue, it's a moral issue. They don't want to believe, and they will not receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Who are they? He said, the wicked shall do wickedly. That's their nature. And none of the wicked shall understand. They won't understand. But the wise shall understand. Those who have trusted Christ, those who have believed what the Scriptures say about the truth of it, and they will understand. Now, when is that going to take place? Well, verses 11 and 12, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away. Who's going to do that? Antichrist, the temple. And by the way, there's a lot going on in relationship to the rebuilding of the temple right now, even to the altar and some of the other things. And so I don't know all the details of it, but I can tell you there's a lot going on over in Israel. And the possibility of this very thing being rebuilt and maybe even being part of the package that Antichrist allows, I don't know. But from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, that's in the temple, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, this horrible abomination that maketh desolate, there shall be 1,290 days. 1,290 days. Now, we know that there have been some other places where it said there'll be 1,260 until the Great Tribulation. Using the Jewish lunar calendar, and that is 30 days to the month, that's what it comes out to be. Well, then he speaks of 1,290. He adds 30 to that, and then we move on. He says, there'll be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the thousand, verse 12, 1,305 days. And go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Well, what are these other days for here? And is there a mistake? No, not a mistake. It's just an addendum to the original time, and going up to that particular time, and then there's going to be, as some describe it, mop-up operation. You see, Christ is going to come back, there's going to be judgment, and I'll tell you, there's going to be a whole lot goes on. Maybe, it may be, I don't know this, but some think that the temple will be totally destroyed because it's been desecrated, and then they'll rebuild another one very quickly, and other ideas, but we know that a lot will go on. So don't let that disturb you. The Bible is always right. It's just saying there's a little more that's going to happen there. There's going to be a lot of people, and Jesus is going to deal with them, and he's going to call all the nations. There'll be the judgment of the nations, the sheep nations, and the goat nations. A lot of things are going to happen right in that time. So the Bible's not wrong. It's exactly right. These judgment events, maybe we could call it the mop-up operation, and there'll be a little time involved in that. Now, he says to the prophet, there's going to be a time that you'll rest. But go thou thy way, Daniel, till the end be. Let's go on. For thou shalt rest. Well, what does that mean? He's going to die. Daniel is going to die and go to heaven, and he's been resting ever since. But the end time is going to come. For thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot, that is in heaven, and then at the end of the days, when that's all over with, he says, you'll understand, and somehow you will get to rest. Rest for the prophet. The old man, he was saying to him, just keep on. Your strength is waning. He's saying to us today, keep on. Tribulation is going to come. Doesn't matter. Keep on doing what's right. Daniel wasn't totally through right at that point. But when our life is over, if Christ doesn't come in our lifetime, we get to go rest. And by the way, death is no different hardly from the rapture, is it? Think about it. We fear death. Well, what happens to the Christian when we die? Immediately we go to be with the Lord. Well, what happens at the rapture? Well, immediately we go to be with the Lord. Which one's worse? I think they're both even, don't you? I think they're both are alike. We go to be with the Lord. Now, I want the rapture. I'm just coward enough, I guess. I don't want to go through all that process. But when our life is over, we'll rest. But then there will be the resurrection. And then we will reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God we'll have our inheritance, our lot, too. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, because all that's true, be ye steadfast. That's us now, tonight, members of Worth Baptist Church and others. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Anything you do for Jesus, and any labor that you give to Him, even giving a cup of water in His name, He's not going to let it go unnoticed. And we will go to our rest and our reward someday at the judgment seat of Christ. We'll get that. For Daniel and all the believers, thank God there is rest, there is the resurrection, and there will be reward for us. And I'm glad the Bible doesn't leave us in the dark. It tells us where we're headed. And you think about what's going on now in the world. Just think about it. Think about the Jews going back, becoming their nation in 1948, and the Six-Day War they won. They're one of the smallest nations on the face of the earth and have as much power as any other nation. They are to be contended with every day. And we're contending with them right now. That's not anti-Semitic. I'm just saying they're there. They're back in the land. And there are those who want to wipe them off the face of the earth. Those people in Iran, Putin and the Russians, they'd love to destroy them. It's going to be a mistake of their life when they try to do that in the end time. And then they come up with the Battle of Armageddon, I believe, during that time. Thank God we're saved. Thank God we know the future. And what should we be doing? Serving God today with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our might. No place for practice sin. Get it out of our lives. Love God. Live for God. Don't complain. Just be on fire for Jesus Christ. He might be coming real, real soon. Let's stand, please.